we turn our attention this afternoon to 1 Samuel and to chapter 16, in particular to verse 5, the words of Samuel to the elders of Bethlehem. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. We know that all Scripture is God-breathed, given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. We know that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. And that includes these words of Samuel to the elders of Bethlehem. It's true that when we come in the midst of this account, we have a big picture, and we know that the Lord was telling Samuel to go to Bethlehem in order to anoint a king for himself. And it's true that Samuel, at God's command, hid the full extent of his intentions from the elders of Bethlehem. And this sacrifice that he came to make was, in some way, it was like a veil that was drawn across his purposes so that they might not be known unto all. And yet, at the same time, that veil was a suitable veil. It was an honorable veil for Samuel the prophet to come and sacrifice to the Lord in one of the towns of Israel. This was not a sham. This was not play acting. This was a real act of the worship of God. And when Samuel commands the elders to sanctify themselves and come with him to the sacrifice, that was a real command of God to the elders of Bethlehem as preparation for this act of worship, meeting with God in sacrifice. And we know the whole story. We know that Samuel was coming to anoint a king. But the anointing of a king for Israel, it's not as if that's so far removed from the act of making a sacrifice to the Lord, because the Lord was the God of Israel. He had entered into covenant with them by sacrifice and by the shedding of blood. And as their God, reconciled to them by blood, he gave them every bounty, including a king. And when we further remember that Saul was also anointed king over Israel in the context of a sacrifice and then the meal that followed that sacrifice, we can see that there's a pattern and there's an intention behind why it was that God commanded Samuel to go and to make this sacrifice. And so, to draw your attention to these words, sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. We're not bringing something that's arbitrary or divorced from the big picture. We're simply focusing on one part of the account the Lord has given us. Furthermore, the idea of sanctifying oneself is not locked away in the inaccessibility, supposedly, of the Old Testament, but it applies to us as New Testament Christians as well. John 17, verse 19, our Savior uses the language of sanctifying himself. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself. And what is the implication of the Savior sanctifying himself? He tells us, for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. The idea, O elders of Bethlehem, sanctify yourselves, has not lost its power now that we've come into the New Testament, but it has gained power because now Christ has come, who sanctified and set himself apart to be offering and priest for his people. Therefore, all the more reason do we have that we ought to sanctify ourselves. The context of this passage appears to be the context of a peace offering. A peace offering was one in which The worshiper would bring a sacrifice to God, and then, importantly, there was the meal that followed the sacrifice, so that the worshiper himself partook of part of the sacrifice in a meal. And so it was different from the burnt offering, where the whole thing was consumed in fire and went up in smoke before God. And so there was going to be not just the sacrifice, but a meal that followed that sacrifice. And that's hinted at in our text when Samuel says here later in this chapter at verse 11, call David, call the youngest, for we will not sit down till he come hither. So there was a sacrifice, and then everyone was going to be, or at least Jesse and his sons with Samuel, were going to be sitting down. They were going to partake of the meal, which, what did the meal indicate? It implied a communion with God through the offering of the sacrifice, a partaking of all the benefits that flowed from the sacrifice. And that now is beginning to, I hope, help you see why this is pertinent to the Lord's Supper, because the Lord's Supper is not a sacrifice. It is not a re-sacrificing of Christ. There has been but one sacrifice, and that forever, perennially fresh and efficacious. Christ doesn't need to be offered up again. But yet there is a meal that follows the sacrifice, in which the communicants at that meal come to partake of the benefits of the sacrifice and to partake of communion with the God who is reconciled to them by the sacrifice. And just as in the case of Bethlehem, Samuel told the elders, and particularly Jesse and his sons, to sanctify themselves, so it's our duty as New Testament Christians, because there is this occasion coming, as it were, the man of God is visiting, the man of God has come to town. There is a special occasion of a sacramental meal. Therefore, sanctify yourselves and come not to the sacrifice, but do come to the feast that follows it. I hope that's helping you to see why this passage is relevant to us. And my thoughts this afternoon are fairly simple, but I hope that they'll be timely. We need to be reminded again and again, I think, partly because of our context, why it is that, why are we having a communion season? And what is it, why are we talking about preparation for the Lord's Supper? I hope that a few things, in fact, five things from this text will refresh your memory and strengthen your hand in seeing the need for these things that we're setting ourselves to do. So five things on sanctifying yourselves. First of all, sanctify yourselves, the need. Why is it that Samuel had to say this to the elders of Israel? Sanctify yourselves. We need to sanctify ourselves, plain reason is, because we are sinners. The elders of Bethlehem, when Samuel was coming to town, were told that they trembled. That means fear. And where does fear come from? Fear comes from guilt. If there were no guilt, there would be no fear. But the elders of Israel could say, oh, here comes Samuel, and, you know, last thing we were reading about Samuel, he was standing up to King Saul and telling him that Saul was going to be deprived of the kingdom because he hadn't obeyed God. And then Samuel takes King Agag and hews him to pieces before the Lord. Samuel was a holy man. He was a no compromises man. He was not light and coddling and indulgent of sin. And we're sinners too. And in any approach unto God, if we have our spiritual senses turned on, then we have to realize, it would be the height of folly not to realize, we have guilt. How can we come into God's presence when we have guilt? We need to sanctify ourselves because we're sinners. Notice that Samuel, when he's speaking to them, they're afraid and trembling and they're asking to come peaceably. What's his answer? And he said, peaceably, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves. Now, what if Samuel had said, I do not come peaceably. I have come to visit all your sins upon you. I have come to call down fire from heaven upon this burg of Bethlehem, and it is to be destroyed without remedy. Sometimes that's the way we think that God is coming to deal with us. We think, well, we're hearing these things about repent, sanctify yourselves because you're sinners. You need to put off sin because God is coming nigh to you. And we hear it as if it was Samuel showing up and saying, I'm not coming to you peaceably. We think, well, God is out to destroy us. That's why we're hearing about something about our sin and about repentance. But it's quite the opposite, in fact. If God meant to destroy us for our sin, he could have done so long ago. And what purpose would there be in renewing repentance if God was setting himself to destroy us for our sin? No, because the Lord's Supper, you see, it's a means of grace. It's a manifestation of God's mercy towards sinners. And it's in light of that that God calls you in preparation to sanctify yourselves. It is because there is hope of being accepted with God that God says, sanctify yourselves. There is hope of meeting with him. Therefore, sanctify yourselves. Because there is a covenant of grace in which there is pardon and in which there is acceptance of sincere services, though mixed with a remnant of sin. Therefore, sanctify yourselves. There is one who is far more holy than Samuel who is approaching, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. The King of glory is entering into our town, into our homes. He is holy, but he comes with peace upon his lips, and he comes saying to us, sanctify yourselves and come to the feast. He came through Jericho, and there was Zacchaeus in Jericho, and the Lord Jesus knew right where Zacchaeus was, and he told him to make haste and come down, for he must come into Zacchaeus's house that very day. He came, and Zacchaeus put away sin when Christ came to his house. He restored fourfold what he had stolen. It was a sovereign and gracious approach unto a sinner, and it caused him to put away sin. That shows us something of the need. Sanctify yourselves, first of all, the need. That's because we're sinners being approached by our God who comes with terms of peace. Secondly, the occasion. What was the occasion where the elders of Bethlehem were told to sanctify themselves? Well, there was to be a sacrifice, there was to be a fellowship meal following it, and there was to be, they didn't know this yet, but there was to be the anointing of Israel's king. This was a special occasion. It was not simply, well, here comes the weekly Sabbath. They were bound by the moral law to observe that, the weekly Sabbath. But this was an occasion because the man of God was coming there. They wouldn't have had the sacrifice in their midst except he had been there. This was a gracious and a special occasion. There are some other occasions in the Bible where there is a command for the people to sanctify themselves. The first one that towers tall in the record of the scriptures is at Mount Sinai, where the Lord descended in smoke and fire and told Moses to put bounds around the mountain. And he said that this people needed to sanctify themselves. They needed to be ready against the third day. They needed to wash their clothes. Another occasion where the Lord tells the people to sanctify themselves is in Joshua chapter 7, where he's about to expose Achan and his sin. He's coming in judgment, and he tells the people, sanctify yourselves. Another occasion is in Joel and in chapter 2, where there's been this devastation on Israel, the plague of locusts, and the Lord tells the people, sanctify a fast. On occasions of God's severity, the things I just named to you exemplify God's severity. Coming down in fire to give the law, finding out the sin of Achan, calling the people to fast and mourn. Those are occasions of severity where the Lord tells his people, sanctify yourselves. Now, here's the thing that we may not see quite as readily. This occasion, in this passage, is not an occasion of God coming in severity, but an occasion of God coming in mercy to meet with his people through a sacrifice. And here's the thing, that the occasions of God's merciful approach to his people call upon us to sanctify ourselves as much or more than those occasions when he draws near in his severity. The manifested love of God should motivate us to mortify sin. Isn't that what the preface of the Ten Commandments is telling us? I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, out of a house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. The first word is mercy. The Lord giving and communicating himself to his people as their God. And that should motivate their sanctifying themselves and putting away other gods. We read in 1 Corinthians 11, and we read something of the severity of the Lord in that passage, didn't we? We read a warning that he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation or judgment to himself. But why is that severity there? Because he that eats and drinks in an unworthy manner is abusing an ordinance that speaks so much of God's mercy. The sacrament itself speaks of mercy. And when that's abused, then it calls forth God's severity. But the occasion itself is one of mercy. That should call upon us to see that we are careful to sanctify ourselves. We've seen the need. We've seen the occasion. Also, we should understand, thirdly, the implications. The implications. After all, what does this mean? It's God's command to you. It applies to our present circumstances. Sanctify yourselves. But what does that commandment mean? What must you do? I'll give you two things. First is that you must repent of your sins. Now, under the Old Testament, there was the ceremonial law. And the ceremonial law governed the peace offering. And it said that whoever ate of the peace offering with his uncleanness being upon him, that he would be cut off. So that would be things like not touching a dead body and washing yourself if you were unclean through different, issues from the body and things of this nature. God in the ceremony said to his people, when you're going to eat the peace offering, make sure you carefully keep yourself from contracting defilement to your body. And don't eat if you're in a defiled state. Now, surely, now that we're under the New Testament, all the lessons of the Bible, they come more to the heart, don't they? The New Testament is more spiritual and more searching. And so the same command, but with a different emphasis and a spiritual thrust, which is that we need to be sure that we put off by repentance every defilement, and that we eat of the Lord's feast with our uncleanness put away from us by repentance. Is there anything that is staining your conscience? Then you need to repent of it, and so eat and drink. And how do we know if there's something that's staining our conscience? Our consciences themselves, just like all of our other faculties, aren't what they should be. And so in order to know what it is there anything I need to repent of? It requires work of us to even know that. It requires us to slow down and to, as we were reading there, examine ourselves. To beg God for light through His Spirit, as we open the Word and we look through passages like the Ten Commandments, the Sermon on the Mount, Psalm 15, the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians, we would open these kind of passages and ask the Lord to show us whatever it is in our lives that we need to break off. We could think over the past course of our life. We could think about the providences of God in our lives and how have we behaved at certain providential turning points in our lives, and how have things been with us since the last communion that we were at. In order for us to know what we need to repent of, it requires this kind of slowing down and examining of ourselves. That's one thing that's meant by sanctify yourselves. Here's another thing that's implied by that. At Mount Sinai, I referenced to you Exodus 19. And the Lord told Moses that the people should sanctify themselves. And one thing he said there is, come not at your wives in those 3 days. And if we look at also at Joel, the prophet Joel, and in chapter 2, we find something that's similar. Joel 2 and verse 16. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation. Sanctify. Now, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. What would it mean to be sanctifying oneself? Well, there's this element to it. It is a drawing away from a preoccupation with the pleasures of this life and a seeking of spiritual delights. Now, that may sound strange to us, and there's a reason that it sounds strange. We live in days of spiritual minimalism. However, what God is calling for from us at a time of His special approach to us is an increased spiritual focus and attention. We ought to be spiritual all the time, no doubt. But we ought to have that kind of seeking after heavenly things and heavenly delights and a loosening of our grip upon earthly things, and that would fit us for special nearness unto God. So what does that mean? It means that we need to make time for hearing the Word of God and coming to extra sermons and meditating, giving time unto meditation and prayer. We need to be seeking the things that are above in a particular way. This is one thing that's meant So these two things. Sanctify yourselves, how? By repenting of sins and by, in a concentrated way, seeking the things that are above. These are the implications of sanctifying yourselves. Here's a fourth thing of the five that I promised. That is the minister. Sanctify yourselves, the minister who assists in this sanctifying process. Verse 5 says, Samuel commands the elders, sanctify yourselves, you have work to do. And then it says something that Samuel, as the minister of the covenant of grace, did. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. The minister has a role to play in sanctifying and preparing the people. And so that's both public and also personal. In public, the minister has a role to do at such a season as we're going into by preaching. And we read the Lord Jesus saying, for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they may be sanctified through the truth. What is the means of the washing and sanctifying of the church but the Word of God? And so Christ has provided to his church ministers who have work to do at such a time to sanctify the people by applying the sanctifying agent of the Word of God to them. But there's also personal work to be done by ministers. And this is truly something for me to think upon and for us to all have formed in our memory and understanding, that our church and its history has had a fair deal to say about personal examination of communicants before the communion and catechizing of the people and examining them as to their knowledge. And may the Lord help us to understand how to recover such things. But there is this place of the minister of the covenant of grace in sanctifying the people. And then this fifth thing, and that is the privilege or the reward to those that did sanctify themselves in this way. The privilege that they had is that they were there to witness the anointing of David. They were there to witness the oil being poured on his head from Samuel's hand and the Holy Spirit coming upon him as the heavenly dew. They witnessed something that was earth-shaking, because David is one of the great types of our Lord Jesus Christ. They sanctified themselves and came to the sacrifice, and they got a sight of Christ under the type. And that's the thing that should motivate us to follow the Lord's method in these things, that he promises that you will see Jesus by faith and you will discern him and know him if you come in the Lord's way. If they had but known what they would behold, then surely they would have sanctified themselves all the more. And may the Lord help us on this side of the cross and the resurrection. Now that Christ has come, may he enable us to discern the preciousness of that feast the Lord has given us, and the preciousness of him whom we behold in it. May he enable us indeed to sanctify ourselves and come unto this feast. Amen. And would you stand with me as we pray? O Lord, our God and our Father in heaven, we do thank thee for thy word that teaches us and which is our only and our sufficient rule how to glorify and to enjoy thee. We thank thee for instructing us how to come, unto the sacrament, and we ask thee, O Lord, to bless our steps and our efforts in these things, though they be. We feel very much the steps of beginners, but Lord, that they might be precious and accepted in thy sight, that we might be assisted by the spirit of sanctification in our sanctifying ourselves and coming unto this sacrament, and that we might be given a sight of Christ, even that Christ upon whom the oil of gladness is poured above his fellows, and who is given the Holy Spirit above measure, and that we might come in under him and have that precious unction flowing down upon ourselves. And we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.